Welcome. We are so glad you've joined us today. Are you ready for another Bayside Christian Church podcast? Let's get straight into it.
My sciatic nerve issue is improving, so thank you for your prayers. Yeah. Sleeping a bit better, and but still probably a bit too much to stand up and preach because I'll get too excited and then who knows what'll happen. So I'm doing like Jesus did. Jesus sat down to teach. So let's get ready for just a focus for a few minutes on resurrection power. Luke 24. Very early that Sunday morning, the women made their way to the tomb, carrying the spices they had prepared. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Jesus' mother Mary. Wow, well, look at the emotion she would have gone through in the previous weeks. Arriving at the tomb, they discovered that the huge stone covering the entrance had been rolled aside. So they went in to look, but the tomb was empty. The body of Jesus was gone. They stood there, stunned and perplexed. Suddenly, two men appeared above them in dazzling white robes, shining like lightning. Terrified, the women fell to the ground on their faces. The men in white said to them, "Why would you look for the living one in a tomb? He is not here. He has risen." Yeah. Have you forgotten what he said to you while he was still in Galilee? "The destiny of the Son of Man is to be handed over to sinful men, to be nailed to a cross, and on the third day to rise again." All at once they remembered his words. Remember, they thought Jesus was going to establish the kingdom on earth and overthrow the Roman rulers, so they weren't hearing most of these other words, but now all of a sudden it comes. It's better late than never. They finally started to get it. Leaving the tomb, they went to break the news to the 11 and to the others of what they had seen and heard. When the disciples heard the testimony of the woman, it made no sense, and they were unable to believe what they heard. But Peter jumped up, good on you, Pete, and ran the entire distance of the tomb to see for himself. I was trying to work out how far he ran, but I just couldn't find those details. Stooping down, he looked inside and discovered it was empty. Didn't quite believe the women's words, but he found out it's true. There was only the linen sheet lying there. Staggered by this, he walked away, wondering what it meant. As we were worshipping before, I looked up and I saw we have an empty cross because Jesus is no longer on the cross. Today we have an empty tomb. And because we have an empty cross and an empty tomb, your heart never needs to be empty again. Your heart doesn't ever need to be empty, alone, rejected, wondering where life fits and whether God's accepted you or not, because the pathway is there for our hearts to be full of his love, presence, joy, power, resurrection, life, hope, and destiny. So don't let your heart be empty anymore. Don't leave this place today with an empty heart, because it can be full of love and freedom. On the calendar, Easter only comes around once a year. But for Christians, the truth of Easter is every day of the year and every moment of every day. Because the truth of Easter lives in our hearts. Jesus is alive. He is risen. We are never without Easter because we're never without him. Easter Sunday, we celebrate the bodily resurrection of Jesus from the dead, which is a foundational teaching of Christianity. Acts 4:33, it says, "With great power the apostles continue to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all." The resurrection was the most powerful thing. As significant as the death of Christ was, the most compelling event was the resurrection, an event about which the disciples could not keep silent. As Peter was sharing, there were thousands of people sadly getting crucified for their crimes and insurrection, but Jesus was the first one to rise from the dead. So the resurrection caused a great stir, and that's what they preached about over and over again. Acts 23:6, Apostle Paul said, "I stand on trial because of my hope in the resurrection of the dead." When he said this, a dispute broke out between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the assembly was divided. The Sadducees say that there's no resurrection and that they're neither angels nor spirits, but the Pharisees acknowledge them all. So Paul was in serious trouble. He thought, I'll just throw a hand grenade in the middle and it'll be about the resurrection. That'll sort him out for a while. And sure enough, a great fight came and he was able to get out of that one. Acts 26:8 says, why should any of you consider it incredible that God raises the dead? Acts 26:22, he's going on. But I have had God's help to this very day, and so I stand here and testify to small and great alike. I am saying nothing beyond what the prophets and Moses said would happen, that the Christ would suffer, and as the first to rise from the dead, would proclaim light to his own people and to the Gentiles. I read a story years ago in communist Russia, many decades ago in the USSR, where they tried to get rid of all belief in God. And it was an Easter Sunday, and a government official got up for 20 minutes and just yelled and screamed and tried to convince everyone that God was dead and what you've celebrated Easter, it isn't true. So for 20 minutes he tried to persuade this crowd, and they're all intimidated. But then as he's getting towards the end of his speech, someone down the back of the crowd yelled out, he is risen! And immediately thousands of people yelled back, he is risen indeed! And this poor official thought, I didn't quite get through, did I? And some people today just don't think, well, it's just a story, it's not truth. But hey, all of us that have opened our hearts have realized that he is risen indeed. The empty tomb is a sign of new life in the midst of suffering and death. While we face the anguish of senseless and unnecessary deaths in our world today, we are reminded that the suffering servant who died on our behalf not only suffers with us, but also brings life to all who believe. So the empty tomb is a sign of life. The empty tomb is also a sign of hope. Hope is a gift that tells us that in spite of our present struggles, we are not alone. The risen Christ is with us, restoring hope and joy. So the empty tomb is a sign of life. It's a sign of hope. It's also a sign of love. It tells us that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Remember the words in Romans 8:36-38 says, for I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither the present, nor the future, nor any powers, neither height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So the empty tomb is a sign of life, it's a sign of hope, it's a sign of love, and it's also a reminder of the miracle power of God. Many have tried to disprove the resurrection or to explain it away, but there is more than enough evidence to prove the resurrection did happen. Here's some of the proofs. The testimony of Scriptures, 1 Corinthians 15:3 says, for what I received I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. So the Bible speaks about it, declares the resurrection. Secondly, the testimony of the eyewitnesses. These are people who were there or met Jesus in the 40 days after he rose from the dead before he went to heaven. 1 Corinthians 15:5 says, and then he appeared to Peter, then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time. So it wasn't just the disciples making up a story to ease their pain. 500 people saw him at once, most of whom are still living when they were writing this, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. He appeared to the women on the Sunday morning, to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, to the seven disciples on that first night, and there were many other eyewitness accounts. Wow. I love the story of the afternoon after Jesus rose in the morning. The afternoon, there's two disciples walking on the road to Emmaus, and he just joins in. And they're really sad. And he says, what's going on? He says, are you the only one in town that hasn't heard what's happened? So Jesus just starts opening up the scriptures to them, and they didn't. It says they did not recognize that it was Jesus. I don't know how they didn't, but they were probably not even expecting him. And when he was going to leave, they said, "Come in and have a meal." And as they broke bread, it says their eyes were open. He said, "Our hearts burned within us." That would have been a great sermon to have Jesus unpack the Bible, proving himself. Hey, one day we'll get to heaven. We'll see the videotape of that one. Number three, another evidence is the birth of the early church. Look at the change in the apostles. They had been afraid, discouraged, hiding. Their dreams had been shattered. They were in grief. Judas had betrayed Jesus and then committed suicide. Within months, they were boldly preaching and seeing thousands converted. They saw Jesus suffer and die and rise again. Now, opposition or persecution would not stop them. And yet, on the night Jesus was betrayed, they ran to save their own lives. Peter denied him three times. What happened? They saw and met the resurrected Christ. They think, Jesus, if you can rise from the dead, we can face anything in your name. And today, maybe you're facing persecution or difficulty. I want you to take a moment to reflect on, because of what Jesus has done, you can live in this resurrection power. You can face the challenge, the pressures, the rejection, the misunderstandings that come sometimes because you live a life of faith. Acts 2:24 says, "But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him." Hallelujah. On Friday, Good Friday, we shared that there was 3 days. Friday, and the Jewish day started at sundown, so he was arrested, went through the trial, then he was crucified on the first day, then he was buried before sundown. Someone said, "What happened on Saturday?" Well, Saturday he was in the tomb, but 1 Peter talks about him going and preaching to the spirits of the saints in Hades or the waiting room and releasing them and defeating the powers of darkness. Oh, I'd love to see the videotape of that one, and we will when we get to heaven as well. So Jesus defeated, and then he rose at sunrise on the third day. And so there was a powerful encounter. Acts 3:15, "You killed the author of life." That's an interesting statement. "But God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this." Acts 4:10, "Then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it's by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed." Hey, because Jesus rose again, you can have resurrection life. If the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he will quicken your mortal body. I've been claiming that promise every day on my back. At 2 a.m. when you can't sleep, that's my favorite verse. Lord, I claim that promise. And no matter what we're going through, you can claim his promise. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, well, it's more than powerful enough to deal with the situations we walk through and live. And sometimes there's a journey of just persevering and trusting. Without the resurrection, Christianity is not real and true. There's a really powerful statement. Everything stands or falls on the truth of Jesus' bodily resurrection. Some people said, well, it was just a spiritual thing. But no, he bodily died and he bodily rose again. And some of them said, we're not sure if we believe. Thomas said, unless I see your physical body and I see the nail prints in your hand and the nail prints in your feet, I'm not going to believe. So Jesus showed up. Next time they were together, walked straight through the wall, didn't worry about using doors because he was now in his resurrected body, not limited by the physical constraints. We're going to get a body like that one day. That's going to be cool, eh? Woo! No more. Says there'll be no more tears, pain, sickness. All that's going to be gone. But we've got to be faithful to him during this life to walk into that in eternity. And so Thomas comes and touches him and says, "Now I believe." And then Jesus said, "I'm hungry." So they cooked him some fish and gave him some fish to show that he had a physical, a resurrected physical body that he rose with. 1 Corinthians 15:12 says, "The message we preach is Christ who has been raised from the dead. So how could any of you possibly say there is no resurrection of the dead? For if there's no such thing as a resurrection from the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, all of our preaching has been for nothing and your faith is useless. Moreover, if the dead are not raised, that would mean that we are false witnesses who are misrepresenting God. And that would mean that we have preached a lie stating that God raised him from the dead. If in reality he didn't, if the dead aren't raised up, that would mean that Christ has not been raised up either. And if Christ is not alive, you are still lost in your sins and your faith is a fantasy. Whoa. It would also mean that those believers in Christ who have passed away have simply perished. If the only benefit of our hope in Christ is limited to this life on earth, we deserve to be pitied more than all others. But, I love the buts of the Bible, but the truth is Christ is risen from the dead as the first fruit of a great resurrection harvest of those who have died. For since death came through a man, Adam, it is fitting that the resurrection of the dead has also come through a man, Jesus Christ. Even as all who are in Adam die, so all who are in Christ will be made alive. Oh God, let that resurrection life be in our spirits, our souls, our bodies, our minds. We're getting renewed. Oh, we thank you for that supernatural power. Fifthly, the resurrection confirms Christ's deity. Romans 1:4 says, and who through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Several other verses remind us that. Romans 4:25, he was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. When you ask God to forgive you and accept the finished work of the cross, he then wipes away your sin and punishment and he treats you as if you've never sinned. That's grace. That's mercy magnified because of what Jesus did on the cross and rose again. Romans 10:9-10, we often pray this when people open their hearts to Jesus, that if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. So to be born again, when we pray that sinner's prayer, we're believing that Jesus rose from the dead. We're speaking to a living Christ. And I remember reading the story of these kids are in a classroom, and it must have been a discussion around Easter, and the teacher's saying, well, how do you know Jesus is alive? He's probably still dead if he ever existed. And the little kid put up her hand, well, I spoke to him this morning. I love that, eh? Kids just have a way. I read another story of this kids, and they had to go out in the school area and find something that reminded them that Jesus had risen from the dead. They had a little egg, and they had to put something in there. So some people put a new sprig of flower or something to show new life. And one little boy who had Down syndrome, he came back, and his plastic egg was empty. And the kids laughed and said, oh, yeah, you couldn't work it out. And he said, my egg is empty because the tomb's empty. And all of a sudden they realized, hey, he's a bit smarter than we thought. He got it even more than they did. God has ways to reach our hearts to show us and remind us. 1 Peter 1:3 says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade, kept in heaven for you. And one of the evidence is because Christ rose again, we have a sure and certain hope of eternal life and a resurrected immortal body like Christ. Hallelujah. When you've got pain in your bone, think, God, give me that resurrected body. John 11:25 says, Jesus said to him, I am the resurrection and the life. I love this because Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life, and he hadn't died and risen yet. So he was declaring prophetically the future, but he was also declaring who he always was, because God is the beginning. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. So Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. And then he raised Lazarus from the dead to demonstrate it. But it was months later before he actually died and rose himself. So sometimes you've got to walk a journey of faith where I am the resurrection and the life, even though you mightn't have seen yet the outworking of God's breakthrough yet. That's faith and trust. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? And Martha said, yeah, I believe it. One day it'll happen. Jesus said, it can happen now. And to demonstrate that, he raised Lazarus from the dead. What a great story that is. Goes to the grave, says, take the stone away. Lazarus, come out. I'm glad he called Lazarus, otherwise every tomb would have been emptied. And then he made the most amazing statement. He said, you unwrap the grave clothes. Jesus raised him from the dead with his resurrection power, but then the people had to unwrap the grave clothes. And discipleship is often about the journey of us being used by God to help bring healing and release to people's lives. In your prayer and love, that's why we belong to a family of God. 2 Timothy 1:10 says, our Savior, Jesus Christ, has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Jesus conquered death. The last enemy is destroyed is death. A believer does not have to fear death. When our days on this earth are over, we go to eternity with Jesus. That's a really precious, precious truth. 2 Corinthians 4:14, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. Remember when John had the revelation of Jesus in Revelation 1? That's an amazing, amazing truth. Jesus, he saw Jesus, says, I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades. We don't have to allow fear of any work of darkness to overwhelm us, because Jesus has defeated the powers of hell and darkness. The enemy can only intimidate us and harass us and persecute us, but we can rise up with freedom because we have the keys, because Jesus has paid the price for them. And that's what we need to live in today. A couple other things to wrap it up today. There's some incredible results of resurrection power, healing and divine health in their bodies. That verse I said before, Romans 8:11. If the Spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead is living in you, he who raised Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. If you've got the Holy Spirit living in you, it's going to bring healing, power, strength, grace, courage to face life. Secondly, you'll have power and strength to overcome in this life. Ephesians 1:18. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule, authority, power, and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. If you're ever feeling a bit discouraged, read Ephesians 1. I guarantee you won't get to the end of it before something's stirring in your spirit. Your eyes are lifted up to see how awesome is our risen Christ over our lives. And lastly, he gives us power to fulfill our calling and purpose in life. Philippians 3:10 says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. I don't really like the next part, and the fellowship in his sufferings. But sometimes I've realized that Romans 5 says suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character. And character produces hope. I'm sure there's an easier way to get there, but sometimes that's the journey that we go through in life. And God changes our hearts, our minds, our perspectives when you go through some seasons like that. And said, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Wow. Worship team, come on up as we wrap it up today. Jesus appeared to his disciples quite a number of times in that 40 days from when he rose from the dead and before he ascended to heaven. We've only got very brief glimpses of the things he said in that time. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Wait and be filled with the Holy Spirit and power. And many other things he spoke during that time. It says he breathed on them to receive the Holy Spirit for the forgiveness of their sins. Some amazing things he spoke. The resurrection proves that truth is stronger than lies. And boy, we need to be reminded of that today. There's so many lies that are spoken in the media. There's lies that are spoken to one another. There are lies the enemy brings against us all the time. Resurrection proves that truth is stronger than lies. The resurrection proves that good is stronger than evil. The resurrection proves that love is stronger than hatred and unforgiveness. And the resurrection proves that life is stronger than death. And he wants to remind us that we can live in the overflow of that. Death can't contain life any more than darkness can contain light. Because the tomb is empty, because the cross is empty, your heart doesn't need to be empty anymore. Jesus was the victor, not the victim. He is risen. It's so easy to be the victim. Stuff happens. Hurt happens. Manipulation, control happens. The lies of the enemy try to make us victims, but Jesus said, don't be a victim. Be a victor through Jesus' finished work of the cross and his resurrection power. I just feel God's grace coming into hearts right now. As early disciples, they went to the tomb and they saw Jesus had risen. When they first met him and he appeared to them, oh. When Mary said, she was talking to the gardener, says, where have you taken him? She said, Mary. Her heart melted. She realized, she fell down on the ground and realized it was Jesus, her Savior. Today I pray that you have a fresh encounter with this resurrected Christ. I pray when you're in strife and in pain that he walks into your room. When you're crying out to him saying, God, I need something to shift, I pray that you see him and feel his love. That you have an encounter with him. That the resurrected Christ will walk into your life and your situation. That he'll walk into you when you're struggling with addiction and temptation. He'll walk in and say, you can be an overcomer because I've paid the price. You don't have to live under this any longer. I pray that he will walk into your heart when it's broken and torn. I pray he'll walk into your troubled mind when there's anxiety and fear and saying, I don't know if I can cope. But the resurrected Christ can walk in and change everything. And he doesn't have to wait to walk through the door. He can walk through any wall that we've put up or the devil's put up or others have put up around our lives. He can walk through the wall of pain and fear. He can walk through the wall of rejection. He can walk through the wall of shame and guilt where you think, I'm not good enough. He can walk through the wall of suffering. He can walk through the wall of disappointment. He can walk through the wall of desperation, of loss, of grief. He can walk through any wall because he's the resurrected Christ. I pray today that you won't see any walls that are too hard for Jesus to walk through. Because he sees your heart. His eyes are like fire, Revelation 1 says. His heart is overflowing with love for us. His compassion never fails. His mercies are new every morning. His grace, His favor is greater than anything we've done or haven't done or should have done. Let the resurrected Christ walk into your heart and life, your circumstances today. Let's just bow our heads for a moment. I just feel His incredible grace. He's walking up and down these aisles. He's reaching out His hand and putting on your shoulder, saying, "You can do it. Come follow Me. Don't try and sort it out yourself. Don't follow some religious icon of Christ. Follow the living Christ." Maybe you're here today and you've never opened your heart to Jesus, or life's just got crazy and you've not following with all your heart. Stuff's got between you and Jesus. But those walls can crumble right now because He's reaching right through it to your soul. And some of you have desperately cried out for God to reach family members and it hasn't happened yet. Don't let a wall of unbelief hold you back from letting your heart be soft and open to Him. Maybe today He's calling you to come to Him or come back. Maybe you've never opened your heart to Jesus, or it's time to reaffirm your faith. I'd like to pray for you today. If that's you, just lift your hand and say, "That's me, Pastor Ross. I need to open my heart to Jesus. I need to come back to Him." God bless you down the back. God bless you over here. Who else today? I can feel His heart tugging at people. Some of you have been come along with friends or family and say, "Hey, yeah, God bless you. There's something happening in your heart today. It's beating fast. You know that Jesus is calling you. Come on, this is Easter Sunday. Just reach out and say, Jesus, I want You to be Lord of my life." Who else today? There are people who have once walked close to Jesus, maybe as a young person, and now years or decades have gone by, but today it's like you find yourself back in church and God's calling you. Who's that today? God bless you. Maybe you're watching online today right now. God bless you. Maybe watching online today and God's reaching your heart today on this Easter Sunday. Why don't you reach up to heaven right now? I'm going to invite us all to stand in His presence right now. We're going to sing this beautiful song. If you put your hand up or you'd like to reach out and make a fresh surrender or a first-time response to Jesus, I invite you to come and join us down the front here. We want to pray for you. That's right. Come with a friend. Come on your own. Down the back, in the front. Come and join us. This is beautiful. Let's sing this beautiful song right now. Thank You, Jesus. Oh. Come on, let's worship Him.
Lamb of God, the only one worthy.
Come on, just come from down the back over the sides. If God's drawing you, that's right, just come. The Spirit of God's calling you right now. Come on, let's worship Him.
Love made a way, worthy. Jesus,
oh Jesus, that's right. Just come, that's it. Beautiful. Just come.
Only one worthy.
Let's sing it once more. Thank You, Jesus.
Savior, from cross to grave, love made a way. Worthy.
Once more, people are still coming. God bless you. Welcome. Oh, God loves you so much. Oh, Jesus, come. Respond to God drawing your heart right now.
The only one is worthy. Savior.
Oh, we love You, Jesus.
Cross to grave.
Hallelujah.
Love made a way.
Wow, welcome. Some of the team come and join and stand us with these beautiful people. It's God's doing a beautiful work here. Still coming. God bless you. Come and join us. Oh, Jesus, I feel His amazing love right now. I feel such compassion flowing right now. For some of you, this is the day of change for your life. Damien, is it? Damien, this is a powerful step for you, mate. You've been searching for hope and answers all your life. You've looked in a lot of places and some of them have just only caused more pain But today, you're going to start to experience His love and forgiveness. There's love and hope coming here today. God bless you. He loves you so much. It's a new beginning for you. It's a new day. You've searched for love. Today, you're going to start to feel His love. Wow. It's so special. He loves you so much. Have you ever done this before? You have, but God's drawing you back today. Something's shifting. You're not on the merry-go-round anymore. It's like you're now moving forward with purpose. You've said, no more going in circles. I'm going to move forward. We're going to pray this prayer that I read in Romans 10. If we believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord, confess with our mouth He's raised from the dead, you shall be saved. Congregation, why don't we join with these at the front here? We'll close our eyes just to close out distraction. Let's all pray this beautiful prayer on this day. Father God, thank you for sending Jesus to be my Savior. I believe you died on the cross for my sin. You rose again to give me new life. I receive you by faith. Heal me. Set me free. Fill me with your Spirit. I choose to follow you with all of my heart. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. The Bayside Christian Church community aims to transform our city and beyond with the life and power of Jesus Christ. If you want to know more or just keep in touch, check us out at www.baysidechristianchurch.com.au or follow us on our social media sites at Bayside Christian Church.